Hello, everybody. Welcome to another I Could Talk Kayfabe, because that's what we do here. We talk kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And so it's going to be an interesting episode today. Are we going to go to the magazine first, or did you want to talk about a certain YouTube video that you shared with us first?
We'll talk about the YouTube video first, because okay. We got to talk. We should talk about that first, and we'll get to our book for the week. But let's talk about, I forgot what it was called. It was, okay, so the other night, so there's been this dude on YouTube who I think we've talked about before, who his account name is goes by Armstrong Alley.
Yeah, we've definitely talked about him before.
He shared with us the not with us, but he shared with the world the California Championship Wrestling from the 86. And here we are, you know, I'm just checking this stuff out, and he posted something the other day called Southeastern Championship Wrestling. It's not the same though as the Southeastern Championship Wrestling from like the Armstrongs and like the Continental, you know, area. Like, it's not that's usually what that, when you hear Southeastern Championship Wrestling, you know, you are usually associated with the Continental. However, this is just a shitball federation, group based out of Tennessee.
Chattanooga
and those whereabouts, based out of Tennessee in the, I would say, probably around 87, 88, that apparently had a TV show on a low-power station somewhere in Tennessee.
Somewhere, yeah. And their graphics looked like they were from, like, home video camera graphics.
Well, it's also, it just says, you know, Southeastern Championship Wrestling, and it plays the dum 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 dum, like that song, mm-hmm. You know, which
2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah, 2001 Space Odyssey. Duh, Space Odyssey. Which is funny, because that's the same song that used to open the old Memphis program too. Like, if you see old Memphis program tapes, that's the song they use. But this is not that, and it's pretty bad. Really, it looks like it's being taped in a TV studio, but also could be someone's living room.
Yeah. It was... I didn't really remember seeing any fans, come to think of it. It was just like the ring.
I heard them. No, they're there.
I heard them. Yeah, I definitely heard some.
There's at least two rows of fans somewhere around ringside.
Yeah, but you don't really see them.
No.
You have a hard camera fixed on the ring at all time, and then it looks like one handheld camera. Or no, there was two handheld cameras and a hard camera. But that hard camera is so fixed that, like, if somebody's on the outside of the ring closest to the camera doesn't pick it up. That's how hard fixed it is. So
Yeah. No, it doesn't move. Like, you don't even get to see, you don't even get to know what's happening outside of that parameter. Well, it's also, well, it's just, okay, it's one of those federation places where it's like the ring is like 2 feet off the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, there was definitely some close ceiling spots in the throughout the show.
Yeah, you know that if they would have did a top rope jump, they would have been up in the ceiling. That's probably what happened. But so it's just this, you know, your dumb wrestling program. You have a guy in a cowboy hat as he's the face announcer. I forgot what his name was. And then there was the other commentator, who's the heel commentator. His name was JC, and he's just a guy with sunglasses and a mustache.
Yeah.
Because in the 80s, the easiest way to get some heel heat, wear sunglasses.
Yeah.
Wear sunglasses. And there's a handful of matches on this thing. It starts off where you have, okay, first of all, there's this one guy that starts off there. His name is, I think they say it was Luke Graham or Luke Graham Jr.
It was, Crazy Luke Graham Jr. I've actually remember watching him in USWA.
Luke Graham Jr.?
Yeah, it's Crazy Luke Graham's kayfabe son. It's not his real son.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of them are related, honest. But, except for Eddie and Dave, Eddie and Mike Graham.
Yeah.
But I thought Luke Graham, like, I know he wrestled into the 80s, but I didn't know he had a kayfabe son who looks as old as he does.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't look like a younger version of Luke Graham. He just looks like they're brothers.
Yeah. No, they definitely, there's definitely a resemblance, which is probably why he went by the Crazy Luke Graham moniker.
No.
But in this federation, he was going by the Genius Luke Graham Jr.
Genius Luke Graham Jr., which he did nothing to show that he was smart. Other than the fact that he was smart enough to beat a guy by dropping him off of a, I think it looked like, probably, I think it was like a fireman's carry, and then punching him while he was down.
Yeah.
That was how he beat this guy who, he beat this guy called Rick Boss.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? So Rick Boss, so mind you, the way that the storyline is going in here is that the genius Luke Graham is a part of a heel stable. And then there's this, there are these baby faces, because there's like eight wrestlers in this whole promotion. And two of these baby faces, one of them, this guy's name is Rick Boss, who has a mustache, and he has Boss on the back of his tights, and he loses he's like, I'm going to clean up this mess, and then he loses his first match to Crazy Luke Graham Jr. by getting dropped on his back and getting punched on the ground. That's how he lost. So, and then we get...
And that was probably the best part of the show, because it only goes downhill.
Oh, it goes worse. And then you have this other guy, this Denny McCormick, who just looks like a mechanic, a guy that's training to be a mechanic. Like, he's not, like, he doesn't... Well, he's a mechanic. He's definitely a mechanic. And he goes up against the Gold Star.
Yeah. The Gold Star was great. It was just a guy in a generic mask on. He had he didn't have any body to him at all.
No, none of them had body. Yeah. None of them had it. There was zero physiques. Maybe the black guy at the end. I think something Austin.
Yeah,
Ebony Austin.
Ebony Austin had a pretty decent build to him. The main event, like the guy who he fought, what was his name? Santana.
Larry Santana. Larry Santana. Who I thought for a second was Larry WCW jobber Larry Santos in a different name.
He at least looked like a wrestler.
He did. He did. He looked like a taller version of Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker.
Yeah.
So, and in less shape.
So Denny McCormick beat the Gold Star, right? If I remember correctly.
He beat the Gold Star with a very delicate... No, it was he nails the guy with a top rope drop kick.
Yeah.
But the guy, the Gold Star, takes the bump and he flies like all the way across the ring and on, I think nearly $1 million babies himself on the rope. If you notice that, if you go back and watch it, he goes like he's like a few inches away from like being paralyzed. But then we get the next one, we get. Do we get an interview or do we get the segment? Because we get a few interview segments.
Yeah, there was some interviews. I think there was an interview between the first and the second match.
Okay, so I'm assuming one of them has to do with the superstar. Is that when he shows up?
The superstar shows up later.
Okay.
Yeah, but that Luke Graham after his match had an interview.
Right, yeah.
Him and his manager and Santana had an interview. They were stable together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's the manager?
I don't even remember his name. But I mean, whatever. That doesn't matter cuz it gets worse.
So are we at the dog yet?
So I think we're at the dog. So
okay.
The dog and the pup.
So we get the dog and the pup against somebody.
The pup is a manager. He had an actual name. I forget what it was, but they actually had a name. He actually was referred to by his name.
But really? I missed
yeah,
that. I thought
yeah.
he was just called, because they have the dog and the pup, and the pup.
Yeah.
So the dog is basically a trash version of Moondog Spot.
Yeah. It's Moondog. He looked kind of like Moondog Spot.
He looked like Moondog yeah. Spot, but he had that. What I could, and I apologize if this is how you look. And I don't mean any disrespect, but it's a very like common wrestling white trash trope of having the dark beard but blonde, bleach blonde hair.
Yeah.
Like the Rip Rogers, one would call it. And this guy, this dog, had that. And you look like that, and he wrestled, was it Chief something Lin?
Chief, something with a big, I already forgot, but yeah, it was Lin. So, and the first one began with an L too. Little Lin.
Chief Little Lin. Who looked like, just your small jobber.
Yeah.
He
was an Indian.
He was an Indian. Supposedly he was an Indian because he had a tomahawk on his tights.
And he had a head. Did he have a headdress? I don't remember.
No, I don't think he had a headdress. Oh. But they did call him Injun.
Yeah.
The heel commentator did call him Injun.
Yeah.
which I was like, okay, yeah, that's a little part right there.
Yeah.
And then as they're wrestling, the commentators are like, yeah, you know, this dog, he doesn't really talk. Let's speak English or whatever. Oh, mind you, by the way, the pup is just a regular dude with a mullet who and a mustache who does not look like a, he's not a kid. He's just a regular guy.
Yeah, he's a regular guy. And like I said, I think the pup might have been a wrestler at one point.
Well, he probably is. He probably just, you know, he just didn't wrestle. He was like, you know, like he's doing the Roddy Piper gimmick.
Yeah. So the dog would mutter a word here and there, but he didn't really speak. But then he said black boy. And it went on all downhill.
Yes, because the announcers are like, oh, when he says black boy, that's the only thing he knows.
Yeah.
And apparently there was a black guy who was one of
the cameraman.
A cameraman.
Yeah.
And he kind of, you know, like, he's like, they're like, oh, yeah, he gets all perked up when he hears black boy. And I was like, hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
So giving him the gimmick that, like, dogs barking at black people. Okay.
Right.
I was like, okay, this is getting pretty bad.
This is pretty tasteless.
It gets worse.
well, this is before. Okay, so we get a few interviews here. So I think
then we get the superstar.
Well, do we get the face interviews?
Oh, that's right. There was a face.
We got McCormick and you have Boss, and they're up there talking to the announcer, and they tell the heel announcer, the JC guy, it's like, hey, since you were talking bad, you said something mean about somebody. So they told this announcer, this JC guy, he says, you know what? You just got fined $500. And I'll tell you, I've never seen a man be more disappointed that he sells that. Because it's almost as if he had, you know, he's thinking in his head that he does not have $200. He's never had $200.
Yeah.
So he's being fined $500, and he is devastated. It is actually probably one of the best bits of wrestling acting I've seen in a long time.
I like the one guy. He's like, yeah, you keep running your mouth, it's going to be $500 more.
So they're running his mouth. And so then we get another interview with the heel stable. So the heel stable has Larry Santana, the genius, Luke Graham Jr. And is there somebody else? But I think it's also the superstar.
I thought the superstar had his own interview.
Well, I know that there was a one where they're all together. Maybe Luke Graham wasn't there, but so superstar was there.
Because I know the superstar said he's going to pay the fine.
Well, the superstar shows up. So the superstar is basically whoever it is, we don't know, in a very shiny mask. Oh, no, he has a woman with him.
Yeah, he does. He has
That's right. He has a woman with him, just a random woman. I forget what they call her. But and so the announcer, the heel announcer, he's like, hey, I'm going to pay your fine, heel announcer. And then they spend this whole time talking about how great the superstar is because he has the best parties. He hangs out with the best women, clearly standing by this woman standing next to him who probably looks like she was 16.
Yeah, she didn't look – I mean, she's a good-looking girl, that's for sure.
She's good-looking, I mean, it was and then they just spend the whole time talking about how he's like – he's so rich. And they're saying that they kept on throwing shade at Ric Flair.
Yeah.
They're going to say, hey, I'll take on the woo man. You know, woo, woo, you come and say woo, we'll take you on. It's like, well, Ric Flair's going to come to this basement? And this somebody's basement.
You know, it was 1988. He might have been fed up with Jim Herd by then. And
I'm not going to be a gladiator, Jim Herd. I'm going to go fight. I'm going to take my new gimmick as the Woo Man.
Yeah.
Down to somewhere in Tennessee, and I'm going to fight Gold Star for the championship.
Oh man!
So apparently there are three championships in this place too.
Yeah, the tag belts were just sitting in the table the whole time.
Apparently there was the tag belts are being held up for some reason.
So they're just sitting at the announce table the whole show. They had the tag belts there.
No, I think the other guys took them.
Oh, did they?
I think at the end they took them because they're like, yeah, I guess we get them. Because I guess they were held up, but now they're ours because Rick Boss and Denny McCormick don't deserve them. I don't know. I feel like it took them. And then there was the superstar was the champion. So he would be the one that gets the shot against Flair. He's that guy. But then they had a TV match.
Yeah.
A TV title match. Apparently there was a TV title match.
Although there was no belt.
There was no belt. I didn't see a belt. I didn't see a medallion or a trophy.
No, I saw nothing.
Or
a TV even.
That's right. I didn't think I saw a TV. I don't even know if there was a camera there.
Yeah.
But they So they wrestle. So it's this black guy, Ebony Austin.
Ebony Austin and Santana.
And Santana. And Santana. Okay, so they're wrestling. It's shit. The match is shit. Like, I don't know if you were going back to the dog match. The dog won with probably what is probably looked like one of the most dangerous power bombs I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. I was even like, whoa, when I saw that.
Because
yeah.
It's like he picks him up for a pile driver, but the guy gets like lifts his torso up, maybe up like a few inches, and then the dog just goes,
yeah.
And just, you know, I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, that's two matches where somebody probably should have been dead in this match, promotion. I think, and then, so then you get this match between Santana and what's his face?
Ebony Austin.
Austin. And it's going back and forth, and it's, you know, they're fucking up arm drags. I mean, it's bad.
It's very sloppy.
It's very sloppy. And the match ends because, just like you said, the card camera is so fixed that the fan, which I think this is where I noticed, because the fans see something happening.
Yeah.
And you don't see anything at all where apparently the dog runs in and hits Santana, or hits Austin in the back.
Yeah. We don't know what he hit him with. Could have been a chair. Could have been a belt. We don't know.
He could have hit him with
a bone for all that. We don't know.
He could have hit him. He hits him with something, and then you don't even see it. They don't even bring it. Like, they just say, oh, I guess something happened. The camera is perfectly framed just enough that you cannot ever see anybody do anything to this guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even, like, you don't even see, like, an errant hand.
All they had to do was pan right, and we would have saw it. But no, camera was so hard fixed, you cannot see what happens.
So they knock this guy out, and Santana wins.
Okay, but so Santana wins. He gets the three count, right? But Ebony Austin gets right up after. No selling the attack on him. He just got right up after the three count.
He got right up, and he starts chasing after Santana, whatever. Yeah. And then they go to the announce table, and they start jawing at each other. So they're talking, like, because obviously it was a screw job of some sort. And as this is happening, the Ebony Austin gets ambushed by the dog using a watermelon.
Yeah, he was at the interview. No, it was the pup that he was jawing with.
Oh, that's right, he was jawing at the pup because the pup came up and said, and then the dog fucking ambushed them.
And then, so yeah, he ambushed him with a watermelon, and then they're taking watermelon pieces and just hitting him with the watermelon as they went off the air.
Well, then they go proceed to brawl in there, an incredibly shitty brawl.
Yeah, yeah.
Very shitty brawl. Like, I don't think anybody's hitting any punches. They're just flailing fists.
I like how the heel announcer's like, I got watermelon all over me.
and that's it. That's this dumb show, this dumb wrestling, which, if I wasn't a jaded wrestling fan from years of watching wrestling, obviously, and if I wasn't doing, obviously I wouldn't be doing a show like this, but this is, I would be embarrassed to see it. I'm not particularly embarrassed to watch it because I watched it alone. You know, had I watched it with, like, you know, like, if I was like with a group of friends or somebody, like, you know, I was like, hey man, let's watch this dumb wrestling, haha, and then that happened, it'd be very uncomfortable for anybody to watch, because it just all of a sudden it gets like a little racist, and then it gets really racist at the end.
I was uncomfortable watching it by myself. I was watching it in my car. I was watching it in my car on my lunch break at work, and I felt really uncomfortable just watching it.
I'm so sorry. I feel bad now that I forced this, because I was like, this is awful. We should talk about it.
Yeah,
I kind of regret finding it.
Yeah, okay. When I'm just thinking, like, now, like back when I was a kid, and like people would just like. Like, adults would be like, oh, why do you watch wrestling? That stuff's garbage. That stuff's... And I never thought anything of it. But if I was watching this, they would have a point. Like, this is just... It was garbage.
Not... You can't defend it.
No,
you can't. Really, you can't be like, no, this is actually really good. It's like, no, this is really bad. Like, these are just a bunch of racist assholes throwing watermelon at each other. This poor dude... This Ebony Austin guy was like, yeah, whatever, I'll do this angle. Maybe he gets his heat back later. I don't know. You know, maybe he puts the dog in a kennel. It's a thing where it's like, okay, this is offensive in the terms that it's just bad wrestling, but then it just gets fucking racist, and you're like, fuck, man, this is God damn it, really? Like, did you have to do that? You dumb YouTube video.
Yeah. Anyways.
So, anything else you want to say about this abomination that I foisted onto you?
I want to see what happened the next week.
Oh, I don't think there was a next week. I think it got canceled. I think that guy. Well, that guy paid his $500, and didn't. You know, the $500 that had to pay for that fine. That's all there was in the promotion.
Yeah,
the superstar was broke after that. He lost his awesome house. He couldn't have the parties. You know, so that was end. That was the end.
I want to see more, just because I want to see if Ebony Austin got his revenge.
I hope he gets his heat back by just. You know, I hope they bring in like Ron Simmons and Butch Reed and just beat the shit out of everybody in that match.
Or the gangsters.
Just young New Jack just shows up. Actually, that would have been a great ending to that thing where they're just beating this poor guy up, and then this New Jack just shows up. You just hear the Natural Born Killers.
Yeah.
And it's just going on. And then it just goes on for an hour. It's just a 2-hour show.
He just beats everybody.
Like, he just beats up JC. The guy's like, he's like, I got water on me and I don't have $500.
Yeah. Everybody. Even the fans. Everyone who was a part of it just get beat up by New Jack.
The fans, some poor kids.
That's how I would end it.
Actually, yes. Actually, that would be the perfect ending. Oh my god! I wish that WWE 2K guys make that for us. Make it so you can have, if you're tired of a match, you could just fuck everything and have New Jack show up and beat everybody up in the crowd, including just everybody. Just go around, beat up all the concession workers, just beat up the park and attendants. Oh man. Anyways, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about our book for the week.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? Bad. I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
And we are back, and we are talking about Inside Wrestling, June of 1987.
Yeah, I'm glad to finally have gotten to one of these.
Victory Sports Series.
Yeah, it's the After Mags.
Yeah, from the publishers of Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Yeah, we're not messing around here.
Yeah.
You got Inside Wrestling, which is kind of the, I don't know, I feel like this one has a lot more articles in it, or is this something like, I don't know, it just felt, just compared to the other After Mags, it has a bit more of a, has a bit more journalism tint to it, because I think it has the Matt Brock article in there too,
yeah.
Matt Brock thing, and that's kind of like their kayfabe masterpiece. To speak, but so Inside Wrestling, on the cover we have Nikita Koloff's mission, saddle the horseman and trample Lex Luger, and we have a picture here of a bloody Nikita hanging a bloody Arn Anderson with his chain.
Yeah, so Nikita's full face now.
Full face, and he's taking it. I love that maybe Fangoria too. But obviously Fangoria, but on wrestling magazines are the only place you can see like somebody being graphically graphic attempted murder. You know, because I mean, it's just the blood and just everything like that. I mean, wrestling magazine, I mean, I don't think they do that. I think they stopped doing that at some point, but like the any time between like now and between like 92, from like 70s to 92, like, it's fucking wild. So, But Nikita Koloff's mission, saddle the horseman and trample Lex Luger. Roddy Piper's retirement. How long will it last? We got a picture of Hot Rod looking over, checking out Nikita and, Arn. I think Arn's yelling to
He's Piper, like, get here. In here and help me.
He's like, Piper, what the fuck? Get over here. And he's like, it'll take me a couple years. It's going to take me about 9 more years to get to WCW, so you're going to have to wait. Tag team without trust. Why Chris Adams and Terry Taylor are their own worst enemies. Bruiser Brody, nobody's crippled more people than me. All right. And one-on-one, Dusty Rhodes and Dick Murdoch.
No.
They have a fun article. And then at the top, at the very top, if I almost forgot this, but fight for what's right. Can Scott Hall tame Florida's Beastie Boys?
And I'm glad you saved that for last, because when we get to that, there's a description that we're going to read, and it just, when I was reading this, I was just like,
oh, okay.
Oh my God.
I must have missed it. Cause I didn't know. I didn't really notice anything spectacular about that article.
It's interesting.
So let's just get right into the main stories here. Let's just get right into the Scott Hall story then. Let's talk about that. So fight for what's right. Can Scott Hall tame Florida's Beastie Boys? It's Scott Hall mania.
And you got a nice picture of Tully Blanchard.
Well, it's on the opposite side. It's the capsule report.
That's true. Yeah. So, but what I wanted to talk about was huddled together near the jukebox are an even dozen men, loud and raucous. Yeah. Sir Oliver Humperdinck. Just imagine these guys together. Sir Oliver Humperdinck, Kevin Sullivan, the Cuban Assassin. I think that's the first time we mentioned the Cuban Assassin on this podcast. Jerry Gray, Ed Gantner, Kareem Muhammad, Bruiser Brody, Sean Royal, Chris Champion, Abdullah the Butcher, and a hefty gent going by the name of Simply Tombstone, and a young manager, Paulie Dangerously, and they're all just one drink shy of becoming complete idiots. One of 1987's most popular rock anthems is blasting out of the jukebox, and the 12 grapplers sway to and fro with the beat singing along to the Beastie Boys' rowdy chorus, "You've Got to Fight for Your Right to Party."
Wait. So this happened?
This happened, apparently. Those guys that I just mentioned are just singing. They're just standing around a jukebox singing, "You gotta fight for your right to party."
I want to be there. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Half those guys, I couldn't tell you who they were, but I mean, the guys that I do know, I can't picture them just swaying to and fro singing that song.
I don't think Abdullah knows the word. He doesn't speak English.
No, he's probably just, you know...
He's probably got his hood on, this black hood.
Yeah.
His black hood on that he wears when the Gary Hart would put on his head so he doesn't get freaked out by the noises.
I wonder if Bruiser Brody would be like, "You gotta fight Huss for your ride."
Yes.
Huss.
Yes, he is. He's definitely hussing. Ed Gantner, R.I.P. Ed Gantner. Is that one of the guys you don't know?
Mm-hmm.
He used to be, so this is basically the who's who of Florida, like, at the end of the territory before basically they just folded everything into Crockett. But yeah, Ed Gantner was basically Kareem Muhammad's tag team partner.
Oh, okay.
And they were the shock troops. They're Humperdinck shock troops.
Sean Royal, I'm not familiar with.
Sean Royal and Sean Royal and Chris Champion are the new breed.
Oh, okay.
They were hanging. This is pre new breed.
Okay, that makes sense.
So this is just, but they're getting some seasoning. This is like NXT for them.
Oh,
And then Cuban Assassin. Yeah, I don't think we've mentioned the Fidel Sierra.
Yeah,
AKA Top Gun.
It's funny because we have some mutual friends on Facebook, and I see him posting like comments on like their posts from time to time. It always makes me laugh.
Ooh, actually, Dave's here.
Yeah,
get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh man, what's he up to?
I don't know. He's living in Florida. So,
oh
yeah.
Does he live with his brother, Barrio brother, Ricky Santana? yeah, but that and Tombstone. So Tombstone, I think, I don't know exactly who this guy is. I think he was just some big guy that Paulie started managing that came from like the north, like the Midwest.
Wasn't
or something.
It Sid?
No, it was like a big, no, because it's like a big, he basically looks like Scott Hall, but much wider.
Oh,
he's
okay.
He's a bigger Scott Hall, which is pretty impressive. So yeah, they're all hanging out.
And they're listening to Beastie Boys.
This is what I love about these magazines, because it's stories like this that never happened, or maybe it did. Because it's possible that
I think it happened.
That possibly that in Florida you can get together with all these rowdy dudes and fucking hang out after the matches. I mean, that sounds like fun.
I don't think it happened after the matches. I think it happened like during the show.
Oh, it happened during the show.
Yeah,
because they say it's during a bar.
Oh, it's in a bar.
Yeah, because it says the image isn't too hard to picture. Dingy, grimy bar, a single naked 40-watt bulb provides dim lighting under which a dingy, grimy bartender dispenses dingy, grimy drinks.
Oh, okay. All right. So
they're in a
bar.
They're in a dingy, grimy Florida bar, and there's a jukebox in there, and it's playing Beastie Boys, and they are having a sing-along. And the whole story about Scott Hall, and it's like Scott Hall laughed at the image. That's pretty good. You know, I can almost picture it. That's exactly the kind of guys they are. It's not surprising. Yeah, they're a bunch, all right. A bunch of Beastie Boys singing along to the Beastie Boys. Ha ha ha. Well said, Scott Hall. But basically, yeah, we get a bunch of, you know, it's basically about how Scott Hall is like taking over as the lead face in Florida since Barry Windham and Lex Luger were no longer there. So he's the one that's taking over, and you know, these magazines love Scott Hall, so it's always like, well, you know, he got distracted in AWA and he, you know, he gets very emotional talking about his wars with Colonel DeBeers when he put up all that of his own money. If you remember, fans,
I can't believe that he went to the bank, took out money and put it up.
Yeah,
and then he went back and deposited it after the match.
I won. Hey yo, I won.
Razor, you're gonna have to fill out a deposit slip.
And he's just like, you telling me, Chico, Razor Ramon, to fill out a deposit slip? I don't think so. Throw. He tries to throw the pen that's attached to the chain and just goes. Actually, I like this. Scott Hall goes to the bank story we've created. This is good. But basically, it's just a story about how he needs to, you know, how he needs to clean it up. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of these guys in this group, like the new breed, they're young, impressionable guys. And, you know, Humperdinck and Sullivan are, you know, they're able to, you know, influence them, and they're, you know, it's not right because they're crazy and the battle lines are drawn, and we need to take care of business and, you know, whatever, and clean it up. So, you know, he's getting sneak attacked and all that, but Hall is fighting not for his right to party, but for what he feels is right in a philosophical sense. Win or lose, that's the noblest fight of all. And we get a lot of good pics of him. Actually, why is Jerry Gray in this group? Doesn't make sense. He's just kind of like a jobber.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That's weird.
They had to throw him in there.
Yeah, he needs to go somewhere. Yeah, a lot of pictures of him fighting Jerry Gray and Fidel Sierra.
God, look how young Fidel Sierra is.
Look how thin he is.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like he had a great look as a wrestler.
He sure did.
He looks like a mean federale.
Yeah,
you know, and that's awesome. So what else do we have here? What's the next one? We have Bruiser Brody's interview. Oh no, wait, so let's talk about this real quick.
Oh, this is interesting. Roddy Piper, how long will his retirement last?
Yeah,
and look who wrote that article.
Oh, Sidney Basil, the doctor.
The doctor, Sidney Basil.
The doctor is in?
Yeah. So.
Well, he analyzed, apparently. editor's note, Dr. Cindy M. Basil, one of the most respected clinical psychologists in North America, has become an expert of sorts on the subject of wrestling star Roddy Piper. Apparently, he did a number of analyses of Piper in previous issues of these magazines. And they asked about what's going on with him in his retirement, because they analyzed him and they determined that he is a very, you know, he's got angry ADD. I think that it feels like, because it says, unfortunately, his actual personality was that of a bitter, jealous person. He did what he was most unpopular no matter what he did.
Yeah.
And then they basically are just like, well, is he going to be okay in Hollywood? Probably not. I talked to some of my friends at Hollywood, and yeah, you know, I don't know. It's very much like just a lot of hypothesis. So, do you have anything to say about this?
No, not really. I just wanted to point out that it was the doctor who wrote the article. And then, like, he was just like, you know, what did he say? There's this part where he's like, I've dedicated my life to studying the human mind, and rarely have I encountered an individual such as Roddy Piper. It is most unfortunate that I have never had the opportunity to examine him on a personal basis, for I believe that he would make a most unusual case study.
R.I.P. Roddy Piper, man.
Yeah. And Bruiser Brody.
And Bruiser Brody, who we're talking about next. Bruiser Brody, quote, nobody's crippled more people than me. And basically, so he's in, what is it? He's in Texas right now.
Oh, okay.
And he's a face. And he, I think he's moonlighting as Red River Jack at this time. Because, that was what he would do when he would like lose a Loser Leaves Town match. He would come back as Red. That was basically his version of Mr. Madness.
Mm-hmm.
He was Red River Jack. It was just basically like a white mask, and you'd have his hair sticking out, and you'd be like, is that Bruce Brody? I don't know. But it totally was. And for whatever reason, it's just an article just to be like talking to him about how many people he's hurt. So, yeah. I mean,
he's hurt a lot of people.
Yeah, he sure has. I mean, talking about beaten up on Abdul the Butcher, and you know, is Abdul the Butcher the toughest man you've ever faced? And he's like, I've fought tougher guys, you know. And even Jeep Swenson,
oh,
aka Bane, gets a shout out. R.I.P. Jeep Swenson. Oh yeah, I like this quote. Abdul needs to be slashed, cut up, and canned. As for Gary Hart, I will see to it that he never steps foot in the state of Texas again. Slashed, cut up, and canned.
Canned
Abdul the Butcher. So
slashed, cut up, and canned.
Yeah. Mechanically separated Abdul the Butcher. So
canned. Can you imagine like going to a store? We got Abdul the Butcher in a can here.
100% cholesterol. Oh man. What I got here? Tag team without trust. Why Chris Adams and Terry Taylor are their own worst enemies.
Yeah.
Well, they're both I think they were both heels at this time. It's hard to wait. I can't really tell.
It's hard to tell. Yeah,
because I feel like at this time maybe they're fighting Sting and Rick Steiner, but I can't remember if they're the heels or not. Because if we're still in that phase, I think we're almost out of that. But Chris Adams just got out of jail, I think, here, because that was the thing, is that he punched somebody on a plane and he got put in jail.
Oh, there's a lot of that going around these days.
What, in this book or just in general?
In general, like now.
Oh, in life, yeah. Life, it's all about punching people on planes now.
Yeah, like that guy at the Burbank airport got arrested.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about this.
Oh, there was a fight on the plane, and like you see the video online, and he's just like, what's the matter with you, man? Get off me!
Why did he get into a fight?
I don't know. There was like three people in the fight, and one guy got arrested. He was from like Lancaster, and he was flying to Oakland or something. I don't know, but... But yeah, it's that TSA, man. Like, you got to go through that. You're on edge. Like,
yeah.
You're just getting groped, and then you go through, and like, you're not in a good mood because you just got fondled by some guy, and now you're on a plane.
You're getting your manhood challenged.
You're going to hit somebody.
You want to start throwing bows.
Yeah.
Maybe you can get yourself straight and get into a tag team with Terry Taylor.
Yeah.
I like this picture here of them holding each, like them. They're like looking. They got their belts on. Like they just got done with a match.
Yeah, and they're shaking hands.
And they're shaking hands, but they're staring at somebody else.
Yeah,
and they're kind of like it's a weird handshake because I don't know. It's just like Terry's hand is like kind of limp into his hand. It's stupid.
Yeah.
One on one. Dusty Rhodes and Dick Murdoch. This is.
How did I miss this article too? Because I didn't see this.
This is the one they do every month in Inside Wrestling, where supposedly they tap the phone lines, and they have listen to a conversation between two wrestlers, or I think they coordinate it, and then they just talk to each other so they can fill enough on a page.
Yeah.
And this is right after when Murdoch turned on Dusty and started hanging out with Ivan Koloff.
Oh.
Which you know, Dusty's like, baby, I'm the American Dream, America. And he's like, Dustin, you know, and Dirt Murdoch's like, ah, Russians. I was like, you know, they're that I'm a bounty hunter, or whatever. I basically, you know, he's just in it for the money and stuff.
I'm trying to read what's on Dick Murdoch's hat.
Oh, that's for a trailer company. Yeah, for a trailer hitch.
Light Trailer Company.
Yeah,
he's Amarillo, Texas, it looks like.
He's repping a trailer hitch company.
Wow.
Because, you know what's, okay, so have you, maybe you haven't gotten to this point yet in the UWF or in the Mid-South stuff, but his thing is that he's a face. Okay, so in the 82 stuff I'm watching, he's a face. And he comes to the ring wearing his, like, army, like, flak jacket and his army hat. And he's just wearing the jacket and the hat. He's just wearing his regular wrestling trunks, or I think he is, because what happens is he brings like a duffel bag to the ring, puts the duffel bag down, puts on his trunks, and then goes into the ring and wrestles his match.
Okay.
While he's outside, you know, like you see all this. And then sometimes when the match isn't going well, he goes into his ring and goes into his bag and pulls out a shovel, like a small shovel, and starts hitting people with it.
Oh, I haven't seen any of that.
And he's super over. So, yeah. Dick Murdoch was an interesting man. So, yeah. So, I guess there's some other articles in here real quick I want to talk about.
R.I.P. Dick Murdoch, R.I.P. Dusty Rhodes.
R.I.P. both these guys. Real quick, I want to talk about here, Names Making News, which is like their news segment, obviously. Really just, you know, a bunch of random stuff going on.
Scott Hall's making news.
Scott Hall's always making news.
Yeah.
And this photo here of Mr. Saito, of tuxedo-clad Larry Zbysko and Super Ninja.
Yeah.
Is awesome.
It is amazing.
Because it just says Saito, Zbysko, and Ninja.
Why is Zbysko in a tux?
Because that's what he would do. He wasn't really wrestling all the time. He was just kind of showing up in tuxes and, like, causing shit. You know, like, that's what he would do in, like, AWA, like, Dick Bockwinkel matches.
I want to talk about the Scott Hall for a second because it's pretty funny. Because I actually read through this. So Scott Hall just kind of showed up in Florida, and he's aligned himself with Bad News Allen. And so this is an interesting quote. Allen and Hall will burn until their bodies have been reduced to mere ashes, warned Kevin Sullivan. Paulie Dangerously and Tombstone have worked a diabolical plan to rid Florida of Scott Hall, and I will personally do away with Allen. If it is not possible to do away with Allen, if it is not possible to do it on our own, then Sir Oliver Humperdinck will raise the bounty, and we will be rid of these cretins forever. And I just thought that was great.
That's awesome.
And then Scott Hall talks about his feud with Colonel DeBeers. And God, that must have been a great feud. Yeah.
It probably wasn't that long, though. But it feels like the magazines and the stuff we read, that like it went on for like 8 years.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What a feud.
Yeah. I wanted to point out real quick here, there's this article here for On the Road with Craig Peters, which is one of the regular articles they do. No, this is just an awesome article because they talk, it's like basically talking about the Broadway matches that the 60-minute, 90-minute draws that Barry Windham and Ric Flair have been having. And it's just a nice little article about conditioning and, you know, the mental conditioning and, you know, getting quotes from, you know, Windham and Flair. And it's really cool. And I think just, you know, a lot of like, well, you know, if I could only do this, this would be great, you know, and then there's this strategy and all that stuff. So it's really cool. You know, and I think that's what makes this is like fantasy writing, you know, that and like the phone conversations.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, what would Dick Murdoch say to Dusty Rhodes for 15 minutes? You know, like, how would you do that? Like, that's wild. I think that's awesome. So, anyways, let's talk about...
Okay, so yeah, No Holds Barred, and it's the Von Erichs, and they're talking about how Mike Von Erich, he was on trial for beating up a doctor, and...
Yeah, I read that further, and I was like, I don't remember him ever getting arrested.
Yeah, I don't either. So Mike Von Erich, you know, he got injured, and then he had that toxic shock syndrome, and he was out for like a year, and he almost died. And then, so while he was dealing with the toxic shock syndrome and all the issues that he had to go to the emergency room, and he was in a lot of pain, and some doctor, I guess, came in and told him to shut up or he's going to kick his ass out, and he shoved him, and Mike Von Erich punched him and got arrested.
Yeesh.
And then they had a big trial, and all the newspapers in Dallas were covering it. And then it only took the jury a few hours to come up with a not guilty verdict. They said that he was acting in self-defense.
Okay.
And but it's kind of an interesting article because it's They're talking about how, yeah, even though it was technically found not guilty for self-defense, he needs to handle himself better. And athletes like him and other, and like the, then they listed a bunch of New York Mets. I guess they gotten in trouble at like a nightclub or something recently at that time. Like they just need to handle themselves better. And then they bring up like some incident with Jim Neidhart. And
yeah, that 87 was a rough year for wrestler incidents.
Yeah.
Because you had Jim Neidhart, you had I think Randy Savage punched a kid.
And then Savage, they had an interview with the Von Erich's mom, and she was like, "Oh, I thought we were going to be left alone." No, ma'am, you're not.
So last but not least, let's talk about the ratings real quick. What I like about Inside Wrestling is that they not only do an extended ratings, you have the NWA, but instead of it just being 1 through 10, you have 1 through 15, so you get a little bit deeper into where, you know, the people are ranked. And, you get a little bit of Florida in there. You get some, you know, some Florida wrestlers. You get some Tennessee wrestlers. You know, AWA has some of the, you know, AWA just has actually AWA. I thought they would have some, Memphis stuff in here, but I guess not. WWF, you know, goes all the way to 15. So George Steele gets ranked.
Yeah.
1987, George Steele.
He's ranked above Harley Race and Junkyard Dog.
Yeah, yeah, he was number 13. You get your tag teams and get a whole bunch of good stuff in here. And then you get the Real Call of Champions. I used to like this. It was hard on the eyes, though, because it's very small. But it's basically every major championship in the at the time listed, and it just tells you who the current champion is as of press time. And if it changed, you know, they have a little star next to it that tells you if it changed from last printing. But if it didn't, it just tells you, you know, but for everyone, it tells you when the title change was and where it was. So, yeah. So you get to see all this stuff. It's a nice little, this little thing here to just kind of catch up and just, you know, find out who was a champion at the time. So I like this a lot.
Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah, I like hear that, and I would like to know more, watch more TV that has to do with this. But Sir Alvar Humperdinck was the Florida champion at this time.
What?
Yeah, he beat Bad News Allen. I'm assuming through nefarious means, but yeah, that's about it. Also, the World Women Tag Team Championship for the WWF, Leilani Kai and Judy Martin, they won the titles in Egypt.
Yeah, they beat Desiree Peterson and Velvet McIntyre.
Yeah, that was it's pretty fascinating. There was a thing in Egypt.
Yeah.
So, I think that's it. Do you have anything else you want to say about this book, Joe?
No, it was that's about it.
Yeah.
No color, really.
Yeah, no color. They don't do color in this book.
No color photos. There's nothing advertised about being color, so I don't think there was any color.
So that's it for this week's show. You can find myself on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean. S-H-A-W-N is how you spell Sean.
Yeah, Sweatpants Joe, Instagram and Twitter for me. Like our Facebook page.
Yes.
I Could Talk Kayfabe. If you're not subscribed to us on iTunes yet, please do and rate us 5 stars. We'd appreciate it. It helps out the podcast a lot.
Apple Podcasts, actually.
Yeah.
So subscribe to Apple Podcasts, the show on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, if you still call it iTunes.
I still call it iTunes.
It's going to be a while before people call something else. But
yeah.
You can
still call FedEx Kinko's.
But you can find us on there and make sure you subscribe. Just type us. I type in I Could Talk Kayfabe. You can find us there and you can subscribe. Don't miss an app. Rate, review. Give us 5 stars. If you want to just put your favorite wrestler in the reviews, and give us 5 stars. You don't even have to tell us what you think of the show. You can just put in your favorite. If you listen and you want to just help us out, 5 stars.
Feedback would be nice, though.
Feedback is nice, though. We do appreciate feedback. So thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again next time. Bye.